Hey there, successful mama. Well, today you are in for a treat. This is something a little out of the norm for what we do. And my guest today is Jessie Romero of ADHD Female Entrepreneurs. She was a fabulous sport because she agreed to join me for a live presentation. Now, when things are on the fly, we are either fabulous or a hot mess. And thankfully, in my very humble opinion, Jessie and I were fabulous. So I'm excited for you to hear her wisdom that applies not only to female entrepreneurs with ADHD, but also just people in general with ADHD. Let's jump in. Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life, creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend Patricia Sung. Before we jump in, let's read our review of the day. Today's review is from Jess Vaughn, 22. For 5 stars, you aren't alone. A place for you to feel seen, heard, and reminded that you are not alone. Thank you so much for leaving your review. It makes my heart so happy. And mama, I hope that you will leave a review too. Let's me know that I'm not just talking to myself. And I love to hear your feedback. So this week's conversation with Jessie was actually a live event for Fishbowl, which is a newer social media app that's kind of like a cross between Clubhouse and Facebook, but it has an emphasis on the workplace. Now, you'll find that these suggestions make sense whether or not you're in the workplace, because a lot of these things are strategies that will work for just everyday life when you have ADHD. You'll also hear a few of the participants speak up and share their stories, struggles, and strategies as well. Now, Jessie runs a fabulous membership and also a free Facebook group for ADHD female entrepreneurs. So if you're in business, mama, go find this woman. I love how much Jessie really leans into her ADHD, and that's truly the key to her success. She is shouting from the rooftops that we can be successful even when we have ADHD, and not just in spite of it, but because of it. But she also doesn't sugarcoat the hard parts. Thank you. In the first half of our discussion, we're talking about the top 3 struggles she sees in her clients who have ADHD, juggling all the things, imposter syndrome, and getting caught off guard in a new environment. For example, one of the participants talks about her struggles in a job interview when they ask her something she's not expecting. What do you do? So I invite you to eavesdrop in on the conversation that Jessie and I had on Fishbowl entitled, Struggling in the Workplace, How to Overcome and Succeed. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on Struggling in the Workplace, How to Overcome and Succeed. And I'm here today with Jessie Romero. And Jessie, go ahead and introduce herself.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jessie Romero. I'm the founder of ADHD Female Entrepreneurs, and I am a ADHD business coach and marketing coach. So I mainly work with ADHD entrepreneurs who are just badass and really awesome at what they do, but just have some struggles in the ADHD department and getting themselves to do the things they need to and want to do. And also just some like marketing strategies and business strategies that actually like work for them and don't make them have to be someone they don't want to be and really just grow their business that way. So yeah, I have a pretty awesome community of ADHD female entrepreneurs. It was not a thing when I first started, so I just kind of created it out of necessity and it has grown. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm also a mother. So yeah, we can talk about that a little bit later.
So Jessie, do you want to talk a little bit first just about like what is ADHD and what does it look like in the workplace? Because you work with a lot of business people like across the board, all kinds of different industries, and you probably have a pretty good like smattering of folks to pull from. Where do you see how this is affecting people on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, great question. ADHD is really just a difference in the wiring of someone's brain. So there are a few areas that are impacted that kind of explain the behavior that you may be seeing. There are definitely some things that make it tricky, but also there are actually some skills and kind of gifts that you have that, as I speak to a lot of ADHD entrepreneurs, they discover that a lot of the parts that they love about themselves is actually kind of because of their ADHD brain as well, which is why you see so many ADHD people create and start their own businesses and want to become an entrepreneur because they have those unique skills to be it. So, but then what happens when you have an amazing idea and they just kind of come to you, but you don't have like the quote unquote energy to do anything with that idea, right? If you've ever asked, like, can I just be the idea person? Can I just like bring out amazing ideas and have someone else do all of the work and actually do something with it? Then yeah, that's something I hear so, so often in the ADHD entrepreneurs that I talk with. ADHD is actually, I see it as my secret weapon in business, because as soon as I started leaning into it and making kind of a game plan for like the things that were hindering and sabotaging me in my business because of my ADHD, once I like realized what was going on, kind of made a plan to work around it, things really started changing for me.
And what would you say are top three struggles that you see people struggling with? Because you already mentioned, obviously, that we're great at coming up with ideas, maybe not so much the follow through. What are the main three ways that you see it showing its head when you're working?
So definitely, I would say consistency is probably the hardest thing for ADHD entrepreneurs. And I don't know if you guys have been in the business online world enough, and you've probably heard the saying consistency is key, as the key to success, and you have to be consistent. And everyone hears that and gets so discouraged because they're like, well, then I'm out because consistency is so hard for me. And it is because our energy levels can kind of be, you know, roller coaster-ish. And some days we have good days, and even some moments in the day we have good moments. And then we're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to look for a 9-to-5. And we can get discouraged pretty quickly, which leads me to my second one, which could be emotional dysregulation, meaning it's a little bit hard for us to regulate our emotions. And how does that show up in our business? Say you turn in some client work, then you don't hear back from that person for a day and you start freaking out and thinking, oh my gosh, surely they hated it. I'm not cut out for this. They didn't even like it. Like they haven't said anything to it. That is very much your emotional brain just like hijacking your experience. And people that don't have an ADHD brain don't go to these drastic scenarios in their head so quickly. But we do because we're very scared of rejection. So if you are going to be in the business or working for someone, like rejection is bound to happen, right? Like if you don't want to face rejection, then just stay at home. I mean, even then, depending who's at home, you'll feel it. So yeah, it's something that you're going to be exposed to. So how do you navigate that? That's something that me and Patricia really help our community people with. So I would say consistency, emotional dysregulation, not being able to regulate your emotions. And I would say taking action on the tasks that matter. I think that part is really hard. We can be very driven for the things that we're interested in and the things that seem exciting at the moment. But getting ourselves to do paperwork, getting ourselves to do the 20% of the project, even though we've already done 80 and now it's just like uploading something. Like at that moment, we just want to quit and we're like, oh, we're so tired. So yeah, I would say those are the three things.
So one of the comments that I saw that hit me in the gut when I was reading through the post of what y'all wanted to talk about is how many people with ADHD struggle to hold down a full-time job. And I mostly just wanted to say like, hey, you are totally correct. That is a huge struggle for people with ADHD for 10 different reasons of why that's an issue. So I want to just like validate and be like, yes, that is a thing. And I know that a lot of your clients are not only working, but also then most of them are entrepreneurs. A lot of them are parents. How does that extra layer of either also running your own business or having parenting or like whatever extra thing that people are dealing with, how does that affect where you see your clients struggling?
Man, yes. So one of the things about ADHD is that we actually can be really amazing at something if it's like our main priority and thing of doing. Meaning, I can be an amazing entrepreneur, but being an amazing entrepreneur and an amazing mom and an amazing wife and having a home and taking care after it, that's when things start to get really hard. And this is a very common struggle that I hear all of the time of like, how can I be a good business owner and a good parent as well, right? And I think I can't say that like not everyone struggles with that, right? It is a balance. But I think with our ADHD, the reason why that becomes so hard is because we can devote ourselves, and some people explain it as a hyper focus. And we hyper focus on one main thing. And like, that's all we want to really devote our time to. And then when we look at all the other things that we have to do, we're like, oh yeah, that too. So if I don't put working hours for my business, I will not stop working because like, that's all I really want to do. And I'll forget that I have to go feed my kid, or I'll forget that I have to go pick them up from daycare. So I have to put some rules and boundaries for myself so I don't like get lost in it. So I think that's what gets really hard of like, how do you do both and be good at them? Because it's like, I can be really good at either one, but I can't be good at both is what it feels like. So really just like balancing that. Or even if you have a 9-to-5 and you're working for someone and they're asking for more hours, or they want to put a project on you and you're like, man, I know that that's going to take away like my weekends, or like it's going to make me have to work after hours. And then what about my kids? What about their games? Right? Then we feel really conflicted.
Yeah, one of the things that really stuck out to me there was that we get into our hyper focus and we start driving that ball down the court, and we are amazing at whatever task we're on at the moment, but all that other stuff kind of just fades to the background where we don't notice it. When truly that hyper focus comes in, it's like, this is the only thing that I see right now, kind of like a horse with blinders on, of like, I only see the road right here. And I don't see, oh yeah, I was supposed to feed my kid 30 minutes ago, or I had another meeting and it started 10 minutes ago and I just remembered that it started. Those things are some big struggles for us because we're like, okay, well, I did a really great job here, but nobody noticed it because they noticed that I dropped these other four balls. So that's a very common thing that like, oh, it just breaks my heart.
Yeah. And you really want to look at your life, your business, what you want, what your main responsibilities are. And you really want to look at those and say, okay, what are the like non-negotiable things that I must do, that I want to do? And you really kind of want to map those out, like seriously, write it down. But when it comes to your business, obviously my clients come first in my business, right? So those are my non-negotiables. I'm showing up to calls, I'm showing up to serve them. And when it comes to my family, I'm feeding my kid, I'm spending time with him, I am making sure he gets to daycare nice and fed and dressed, right? Like those are my non-negotiables. So as long as I feel like I can do those, everything else is just extra, right? So what would be the extra for my kid? It would be, you know, like, I don't know, watching a movie with him. That would be extra because I spend time with him by painting. So I don't have to paint and watch the movie if I really feel like I can't today. Or in my business, okay, so I was there for my clients, I took care of them, but you know what? I just did not have the time or energy to post on Instagram today. So that's okay. That was just extra, right? And when you really map out your non-negotiables, like these are the things I need that make the most impact, okay? The things that make the most impact, those are the things that you need to focus on. Everything else is just extra. So you don't have to shame yourself and beat yourself up for failing in all of those things. It's just those main things that you want to get really good at and like consistent with and committed to. And the other things are just extra. So I think that different framework of mindset and seeing it that way really helps us not feel like such a failure when we fail at all of the million other things that are going around us.
No, that is so true because we want to do all the things. And when we put that expectation on ourselves, we've then taken things that are nice to have and then create them as if they were non-negotiables, but they really were a nice to have. And we struggle with that prioritization. And it helps a lot when you're working for someone with your supervisor, is that like when they're asking you to do more things, is to say to them, hey, I understand that you're asking me to do project C, D, and E, I'm already working on A and B. Can you help me understand what's most important to you? What do you really need from me? And they can help you set those priorities, because from our position, it's like, well, now they asked me to do C, D, and E, so I should stop working on A or B. But maybe they didn't mean it that way. Maybe they meant, well, when you finish A and B, then go to C, D, and E. So when you have those kind of conversations and letting them know, okay, well, you've now put more things on my plate than I can actually accomplish. Okay, where's the priority? Because our interpretation may not be what they actually want of us. And so it's interesting from both sides of whether or not someone else is setting those priorities for us, or we're setting them for ourselves as a business owner. If we don't take that time to step back and really evaluate what is it that matters here, then we just start doing whatever looks like it's on fire. And that's never a good plan, but that's what's going to catch our attention first.
Yeah, prioritizing is actually really hard for a brain to do. So this is something that would be really great, like you're saying, is to have your supervisor do that for you so that you're not misinterpreting or choosing the wrong thing. Like if you ever like write or brain dump a list of what you need to do, people get really overwhelmed by that because then they're like, okay, so then where do I start? Because all of this stuff needs to get done and I kind of want to do all of it now because I have the energy to do it now, but like, where do I start, right? Yeah. So prioritizing could be really hard for our brains to do. So if you are working for someone, or even if you have a team, have someone help you prioritize. Have them look at your list and say, okay, well, this will probably be more urgent. And you can also ask yourself, what is going to create the most impact today? Like, what can I do to create the most impact? Is planning out my content for next month more important than getting this email sent out so someone can pay me? No, right? Planning your content is very important and you should do that if you have the time. But sending out an email so you can get paid, that right there is real important, right? So yeah. You want to look at
in the moment they all feel important. So that like step back makes a big difference in how you can decide, okay, really what matters in this moment here.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Another thing that made me think of when you were saying that was about like when we look at our schedule for the week or even for the day, and when you look at those things that you mentioned, like what really is going to give me the most impact, does my schedule reflect those values? If I'm saying that getting paid is the most important thing, do I have that written on my schedule today? Did I block out time for getting billing sent out? If I know I have a deadline at 4 p.m., did I block out a time in the afternoon to make sure that that gets done? That's where like we're not the best at planning. So having that step in our day will make a big difference in actually getting those things done.
Mama, are you looking for some extra support? Could you use a few more like-minded mamas in your circle? Here is your official invitation to join our Facebook group, the Motherhood and ADHD Community. Here you can ask questions, share advice, but most importantly, know that you're not alone. Click on the link in the show notes or search on Facebook for Motherhood in ADHD Community. So come join our little corner of the internet with other mamas who know how your brain works and won't look at you crazy when you share what's floating around inside there. Instead, they'll say, I get it. I've been there and I know how that is. So come on, what are you waiting for? See you in there. Again, that's the Motherhood in ADHD Community on Facebook.
Yeah, so I wanted to open the floor if anyone is really resonating with what we're talking about or has any questions that they wanted to say. And now would be the time. Hop on in. Hey,
third
Amy.
Hello. Thank you so much. Third time is the charm. I wanted to say thank you for putting this together and for hosting. And this is something that I have spent the first 20 years of my career trying to get over and get around my ADHD. And the last, let's say, 5 or 10, really leaning into it. And something that I want to say that you guys have really touched on is about finding the things in your work that excites you. But I have 3 key things that have helped me through therapists, coaches, leaders, et cetera. And the first is making that reward system really clear. So using that example of what is more important, planning my content or sending out my invoices? And we all know invoicing sucks. It doesn't matter. It just does. And so one of the things I would do to get myself excited is my invoices that I had to mail, I would be like, you know what? I'm going to get excited about using real stamps and not putting them through, because now that's something that I'm like, yay, I'm using this fun stamp. Or if I'm planning content and I'm needing to advance with clients, including, hey, I'm planning on these three things next month. Hope they'll think you'll be interested in them. And so I'm incorporating that little note and little nugget inside my invoice. And then the other thing I was going to say that has also really helped, so that reward and gamification is what helps me get through some of those drudgeries. And then the other thing, and I just want to say this has been life-changing for me, is in addition to that radical prioritization, using audio alarms has been a huge thing for me in terms of understanding I am now 24 hours remote, which means we're 24 hours working. So as I have to flip from, this, for example, this evening, I had an audio alarm to let me know that I needed to tune in for this. I did not have an audio alarm for baseball, which is why it took me twice to get off of mute, because I am in my car commuting to baseball because I didn't have that alarm set for that. So it didn't get on my awareness. And finally, and then I'll step off the stage and let someone else have a turn, just forgive yourself. Our energy is precious. And I know we spend so much time beating ourselves up about the things we didn't do, because we wouldn't have made it this far in our careers if we were not highly intelligent people. My neurodivergence is not just my attention deficit, it's also extremely high IQ. So I'm aware of those mistakes that I make. And I spent so many years putting so much energy into beating myself up about it. Whereas now, I recognize I'm Amy, I recognize I'm human, I recognize I'm gonna make mistakes, but if I give myself the grace to do less and prepare more, I get more of the goals that I want to accomplish. And thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you so much for putting this together.
Thank you so much. That was great advice.
So good.
Over here, like, scribbling. Kathy, if you're ready, you can go ahead and unmute.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you so much for letting me know. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for opening up this conversation. I've been looking for strategies and asking everywhere, my social media, but it seems like the majority of the people don't identify with my problems. And I feel it's kind of weird as well to disclose that I have ADHD, and which is something that I recently learned that I do. I've been trying living with it. I've always felt like everything is a little bit harder for me, you know, than the next person, but I didn't really know why until recently I found out that I have ADHD. So I start researching, looking for ways to cope, ways to work better, given that is the condition that I have. Well, the second thing that I was going to say is that I actually have a question, and I was wondering if you have any advice or anything that you can share with me. I'm actually currently going through a job search, and, you know, as an ADHD person, that is challenging on a whole different level. I mean, I can prepare myself pretty well, like for interview content, you know, the questions that people are going to ask me, and I can prepare for my presentation and, you know, my resume and things like that. But during the interview process, if anything comes up that I wasn't prepared for, that would immediately kind of like take my attention. And it's just very hard for me to refocus and remind myself that, you know, I'm in the conversation, I'm talking about this thing, like I need to focus about this. And I remember last week I had an interview where the other person kind of mute herself during the interview, and I just heard nothing. You know, I was expecting sort of feedback because it was a dialogue, so I was expecting, you know, back and forth, and so I wasn't prepared for the totally like muted conversation that where there was just me talking. And so ever since that happened, I just felt like, oh no, you know, like I became majorly dysregulated. I think that's the word. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice for, you know, things like that, like unexpected things that happen during a conversation, especially, you know, during high stake conversations like pitching or interviews, you know, when things just happen and then just kind of take your attention away and you just cannot refocus.
It's funny because actually Jesse talked about that at the beginning, because it is so common. Like, I don't want you to feel like that's you. That is so common for us where we are struggling when we don't get the feedback right away. We immediately think, oh my goodness, that person hates me and this is all going downhill. And it could just be that they're like, oh, my dog was barking in the background and that's why I muted. And we immediately assume that it's our fault. It is very common and it is not you.
Yeah, so I'm totally laughing at that. My dog was just barking. That's why I was muted, which I feel like is most of the scenarios when, but we make like terrible, terrible scenarios in our head. Now, one thing that I do when I discovered this, I'm like, oh, that's so true. But ADHD people do not like to be put on the spot, actually. Our brain gets under pressure and it's like, we must come up with the most amazing answer. And it just kind of freaks out for like 0.2 seconds. So that's totally not just a you thing. Like, it's very normal for our brains to not really like that. So one thing that I would say for your interviews is you can come, you know, super prepared, which is really good. And that I feel like when you come prepared, wouldn't you say, Kathy, that that gives you the peace? Like, you feel like you're in control because you came prepared, right? Like, that's the whole reason of you preparing. So then what happens when someone asks a question that you didn't even think about? Then you feel like you have lost control, mm-hmm. I think is what was yes. probably going on. Okay, so I would say something that can help is if you really show up to that interview before it starts, you prepare your mind and say, I wonder what questions are going to ask me that I'm not prepared for. And you just prepare your mind for that to happen. And you position your mind to almost be interested in it and be like, I wonder what questions are going to come. And so now it's coming in from like, I'm listening for it and ready to answer versus like, I know everything they're going to ask and here are my answers. And then when they come up with something else, you're like, you know, so maybe even just setting the expectation for yourself.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll add on too of like, it's okay to not have all the answers. I think like we put that pressure on ourselves feeling like we have to know all the things. And like even earlier today, Jesse and I were talking kind of like running through like what we were going to talk about today. And it was like, we don't know what people are going to ask us. And that makes us feel like, oh, like who knows where this could go. So you can go in feeling like a lot of us have that imposter syndrome where it's like, I don't know enough to be doing this. Like, who am I to sit here and talk about this thing? And we can go down that rabbit hole, or we can go in with the expectation of ourselves of like, I know that I have done everything that I can to be ready for this interview. And I'm not expected to be perfect. And quite honestly, if they're trying to hire a perfect person, this is probably somewhere I don't want to work. Like, this is a boss that I don't want to work for. So when I have that mindset going in of I'm not expected to be perfect, and if that's their expectation, this is not the place for me, then I feel a whole lot better just from like a mindset perspective. But also it's okay for you to say, ooh, that's really a good question. And I want to give you a really good answer. Is it okay if I think about it for a second? And then letting yourself ponder it, because a lot of times we feel like not only do we have to have the perfect answer, but we have to have it right now. And so if we give ourselves that space and say, it's okay for me to think, I'm not expected to just magically know answers at the drop of a hat. And again, if that person expects you to know the answer at a drop of a hat, then that might be not the best boss for you. Like, you can kind of stall a little bit and give yourself a chance to catch up, because it is very jarring when they come out of left field and you feel unprepared. So I really like Jesse's advice. Knowing that that's going to come will ease a little bit.
I also wanted to mention, this is another huge thing I see in ADHD entrepreneurs that we struggle with a lot. And it is what you mentioned, the imposter syndrome, which is really just feeling like you're not enough, or you're not like expert or smart enough or good enough for whatever you feel like you're doing or what you're supposed to be doing. And this is just something that comes up so much for, and this is something that everyone experiences, okay, not just ADHD, but this is something that I would say kind of plagues us way more. We find our minds going there. I have a whole like system of how to go through it, but it would take forever to go through right now. But one of the things that I want you guys to really take away is finding the evidence of the thoughts that you're having. So if you say, you know, like in that moment, you're like, man, this person, like, they didn't get back to me and it's been 3 hours. That must mean that they're looking for someone else. Maybe someone gave them a better price. You know, maybe they found a better candidate for this job. Whatever it is, you really want to like catch yourself in those moments where you're just spiraling and thinking about all the like terrible things that could be happening. And you really want to say, you know what, let me find the evidence of these thoughts. Like, what is the evidence that you have? Surely they found a better position for this job. What's your evidence? Because 9 out of 10 times you're going to find that there actually isn't, because it's a made up scenario in your head. You don't have a reason to think that. It's really just your fear or your insecurities. And I find that really doing that does one thing. well, many things, but it does one thing in your brain. It's moving your brain from being activated in your emotional part of your brain, in your amygdala, to really going to the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which is where you are using your logic, because you're asking yourself questions and you're making it really think about the logical side of what you're experiencing. So instead of being emotionally like, oh my gosh, surely they found someone better, they're not messaging, they usually message back, so what's going on now, to wait a minute, what evidence do I have to think that? Like, could it be possible? Where did I see that? Did someone say that they were going to be next in line for that interview? And you'll find that you don't have anything to really back that up. And so that really helps us move from emotional to like, okay, wait a minute, I might be overreacting. And then that really, really helps. So I find that that one tiny little tip has really helped me in my own imposter syndrome and realize, oh my gosh, this is just fear. I'm just being a little bit dramatic.
Because it's hard when you put yourself out there and you put all this work and effort into the thing that you sent off, and to not get that feedback right away, obviously, it's hard to take, because you want to know, I did a good job. You want to know what you did was enough. And that's what we're looking for, is to know that we were enough. We tried our best. And when we're looking for that in other places, that's what starts us down this spiral of panic, instead of looking at ourselves and being like, you know what? I put my all into this. I did my best. Or sometimes of like, I did a good enough job and this didn't warrant more effort. Being okay with that status within yourself will help us be strong in not sending down the like rabbit hole of despair. So
hey there, mama, let's pause there. In my second half of the conversation with Jesse, we talk about executive function, or maybe dysfunction. How do we stay organized when we have multiple projects all running on different timelines with different expectations, routines, and how we can break free of destructive habits that have sort of set in stone and then form new habits that actually serve you? Have an amazing week, successful mama, and we'll talk soon. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.